parables of Jesus. And Fred
yes,
has honored us with his presence today, and he's gonna do the class this morning. So
thank you, my support team.
Since you are in charge, Fred, who would you like me to open up?
Oh, yeah. Carmen.
Carmen.
Thank you, Lord Heavenly Father, for today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you do, Lord Heavenly Father. We thank you for everyone that's here, Lord.
Yes.
And we pray for the ones that didn't get to make it today, Lord Heavenly Father. We just pray that today be a mighty day, Lord, and that everything will be lifted up to you, Lord Heavenly Father. And that we remember, Lord Heavenly Father, all the things you have done and will do in our lives, Lord Heavenly Father. We thank you for the word that's going to be spoken today, Lord Heavenly Father. We pray that for your holy anointing and upon Fred, Lord, that the words will come from you, Lord Heavenly Father, and that it will pierce our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for a mighty day, and we lift it all to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. All right, Fred, it's all yours.
Thank you, Bob. Well, today is my parable was the sower of the seed. And where's my wife at?
Oh,
baby.
Oh, she's over tonight.
Yeah, she.
You can't eat, so she's doing seconds.
Okay, Bob. And so I'm going to have my wife read the parable.
Hold on.
This is the parable of the sower of the seed is in three of the Gospels. I think it's in Matthew, Luke, and Mark. But I'm going off of Matthew. So go ahead, babe.
Matthew 13, 1 through 9, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parable, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sim came up and the plants were scorched, they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever hears, let him hear.
Very good. And a little bit down the chapter, Jesus actually explains this parable, so we're going to have Carmen explain it to us.
Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Seed falling on a rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once, receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of the light of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
All right, there, my teaching's over. Jesus already explained it all to you.
We're slow. You're going to have to explain Jesus means
let
now.
Let me go more in depth. So I kind of broke it down to each soil. You got three unfruitful soils, and you got one good soil. I mean, the difference is that the first three did not produce any fruit. I mean, and that's actually our goal, is to let Jesus produce the spiritual fruit in our lives. I think we all have it in us already. It's just we need We need his help to bring it out. And just like a regular seed, the plants inside of them, but they need to be planted into some good soil. You know, and the good soil is, the seed actually stands for the Word of God. The soil is our heart. So Jesus is the living Word. So when they say, the seed refers to the Word, the gospel, it also refers to Jesus himself. So let me just break these down. And so it said the hard path. And I like the way it's, we just read it as a path, but a path is just beaten down from people walking on it for years. I think some of our hearts are like that. We've been in the world so long that our hearts get callous. Just from run-ins we have with people, our childhood, may it be whatever, so I like when it says the hard path, because when something's hard, it just, don't soak up nothing. Don't soak up the Spirit. Jesus said, my words are living water. So if we have a hard, working in concrete, I can see how you can compact the ground down. Because before you pour concrete, you compact the ground. And the ground could be compact so hard that water won't even soak in it. You'll have puddles just like you would on a concrete slab. So I kind of understand where this man was coming from. All right, the hard path. Some of the seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some people heard the truth, but like hard path, they didn't let it sink into their hearts. So Satan came and stole. Satan takes the truth away. If people do not receive and respond to the word with faith, their opportunity will be stolen by the evil one. So, I guess I was going to wait to say this, but I'm just going to say it now. As I started reading these and studying them, I started realizing that each stage of my walk with Christ, I was one of these paths. Don't want to get in too much about it because I get emotional, but I think each stages of life, I was one of these stages, one of these soils. Like the hard path, I can actually say I heard people come up to me and they want to talk about the gospel and they just get away from me. That ain't me. Fine, whatever. So that was the hard path in my life. I think Christ has to take us through when we're hard like that. He got to till the ground a little bit, take us through a little bit more trials maybe. Sooner or later, you'd be like, man, this life kind of, I'm destroying myself, so maybe this gospel is the truth, and maybe need to think about this a little bit. So that's, that's my opinion of the hard path. One time in our life, I think we was all the hard path, maybe.
You have a question here, Fred.
A question? Questions, I'll go to Bob.
I don't really have a question. I just have something I want to share. What I'm thinking of when I think of the hard path or the hard places, actually what I should say is the hard places of life, is I know that as I've been here, I've actually been growing a lot, which is praise God that I've been growing. But I know that there's some hard places that God has asked me to cross unknowingly to me, that it was Him putting me through that place. But I'm thankful that I walk through those places because I honestly feel that through those places and challenging individuals – And really, they were challenging to me for whatever issues were inside of me. It was had nothing to do with the person. And I'm going to be honest, it's Donna. Like, Donna, like, I don't know, but there was something within me that didn't care for her. But had I not made myself do what I had to do with her, I would have never come to the place that I am now. You know, I can honestly say I'm so thankful that I've done that, that I've pushed through that. Because even like healing came through that individual. There's healing and teachings that I had to learn and go through. So I put on my heart, you know, I don't know why, but I feel very strong with our. When I say you guys are my family, you really are my family. I'm going to tell you, you really are my family, and I want us to grow together. You know, I want us all to come together and just worship and just do as much as we can to grow, to get beyond these challenges within ourselves. Because, like they have said and they keep saying, is when somebody's hurting, one person is hurting. When you're hurting, Ashley, and I might not know what you're going through, but we are all hurting. And if we choose not to grow with one another and be challenged by each other, then we're going to fall and stay down. Spiritually, we will stay down.
Thank you, babe. I needed that 10 minutes.
Uh-oh. Right. Donna wants a 5-minute rebuttal here.
I just want to say I knew that Esther didn't like me. But, you know,
hey Bob.
In those hard places, when, you know, like I could have just said, well, forget her. I don't got to deal with her. But I knew that God wanted me to impart something to her for her growth. And I want to say, especially to the ladies, when we don't like somebody, it's because that's the very person God wants to use in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever God wants, He's going to set us against. So we have to be push through that and say, I'm not going to let you do that to me. And I'm going to go forward. I'm going to run to that person or run to that thing that will change me. So you, Lord, you're in this somewhere.
Anybody else? I ain't even passed the first soil yet. You know what I mean?
No. It gets dirty here.
Well, I was just going to say, Fred, when you were talking about the path being hard and like tamped down and like water can't even penetrate it. Well, when you were saying that, it just reminded me of the O'Reillys that they're building over here. You know, that ground was contaminated. And I think of our lives, you know, of our lives being contaminated with bad things. Mm-hmm. And I saw that construction company go over there and have to dig down deep and get rid of all that contaminated soil and put new soil in there and then tamp that down. And then build the foundation of that building on top of that. And I think of Christ having to do that to us, you know, get down deep, get all that junk out, replace it with good soil, and then build the foundation upon that so we can stand strong in His service.
Amen. All right, now let's get off the hard path. I mean, moving right along. All right, the next soil was... the rocky places. Some seeds fell on rocky places. These people hear the message with great joy. But like seeds on rocky soil, they do not let it take root. They seem to be happy to hear about Jesus' great love.
Thank you, Joel Osteen, bro.
And hear about Jesus' great love. I can't do it like Bob does it, but you do. but they do not let it sink into their hearts. On the outside, they may express great enthusiasm, but inwardly, they do not carefully consider it. There were great crowds. Who followed Jesus, but only a few of them were His true disciples. When these people faced persecution or bad circumstances, they quickly forgot about God's word. Back then, they quickly forgot about Jesus. That's what they're saying. You know, I mean, it kind of, and it says, a true believer follows Jesus no matter what. That kind of reminds me of the scripture. I don't know if Bob knows which one. When the teaching got hard, and the people said, these teaching is too hard. And many of them walked away.
It's quite a coincidence you brought that up today. We're doing communion today. The first time Jesus talked about eating his body and drinking his blood, people said, whoa, that's too hard. I can't. Whoa, what's going on here? He lost half of the people following him.
Mm-hmm.
But he did that on purpose. He knew those people weren't going to be there anyway. Just well to cut it and work with the people he knew that would be there and would understand his word.
What you two said reminds me of when I'm gardening. There's some plants that will grow around the rocks and stuff. And they spread. They look pretty. They get, they're real green. Their flowers are pretty. But they're very deceptive because they will choke out the other flowers that do have deep roots. And they'll destroy them.
But
so, Fred, you're saying we need to get rooted, right?
We need to get rooted.
What's one way we can do that?
By the word of God.
There you go.
I mean, it's
for Eddie spoke about that Wednesday, and that's our greatest. That should be your first step.
Yes.
The people you're talking about there just simply accept Christ and think that's the end of it. It's all gone. All I have to do is kind of find me a bunker, hunker down, and hang on till rapture or something. And that is completely wrong because that is not going to work.
But because like the Rocky people, they seem to be mistaken. But actually, when I first received Christ, I kind of thought like these people thought, you know, because it kind of goes on and says, these people are, they think that when you know, I'm following Christ now. He's going to look out for no more problems. You know, I'm good. You know, God's going to do all this for me. No, I just got to.
He didn't promise us a rose garden.
He didn't try to promise us a rose garden, Bob. I mean, after you start looking and reading the word, then you kind of realize that, you know. But you had the perception like, you know, I'm good now. You know, financially I'm going to be good, you know. Maybe I'll be following an armored truck and the back pops open and a bag of money will fall out or something. I don't know. You know, you think something, you know, like, you know, if you have debt, a computer glitch is going to hit, you know, and you're going to go down to 0-0, but it don't happen like that. You know, the problems are still there, but Jesus did not promise. God's word never promised that life would be easy without any trials. He promised something far better. He promised that he will be with us in our problems. He promised that everything will work out together for our good, to become godlier, and to bring glory to God. I like that because if we just hang on to God through our trials and people see that, that brings glory to God. You know, they're like, hey, you know, this guy, I can remember when I used to get nervous about getting laid off, you know, and everybody, the whole crew would know the job's coming to an end, there's nowhere else to go, you know, but it always happens, you know. Been doing it for for 15 years, and there's some years that are tight, and you might have to sit home for a couple months or whatever. But these people still get all worked up, you know. Now I'm like, oh well, you know, God, you know, been down this road. God got me through it before. He's gonna get me through it again, you know. And so now they look like, how come you ain't nervous? Because I know God's going to take care of me, you know. And you know, just that proclaim is, I just threw a seed out there, even though he might turn away like, yeah, right, you know, hey, you know. And so that reminds me of that, when we bring glory to God just by not getting so worked up, not acting like the world when we go through trials of any kind. But the next, we'll move on to the next.
Can I make one comment on that, Fred? Yeah. I went through the same thing. When 08, I decided to retire. and it was right when GM was declaring bankruptcy. Only two people went at that time. They wanted, everybody else said, well, we got a little while. We're going to wait and see what happens. You could lose your pension, anything. But I knew, right, Sharon? My wife was a little worried. It didn't make any sense in the natural, did it? Place getting ready to declare bankruptcy. And I'm telling her, well, God wants me to retire. But it worked out perfectly. It was the only bankruptcy that I think anybody's ever heard of that they kept their pensions. It's just an unheard-of thing in bankruptcy, but yet it happened. There's no reason to believe that God didn't keep all that just for me. Sometimes, like it says, the blessing pours out, the rain pours out on the righteous and unrighteous. So sometime to bless one, 100 will be blessed. We've seen that with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All the nations around them that made peace with them, even though they didn't accept God, got that trickle-down effect. That's where Regan got that trickle-down effect from God, from just being at peace with Israel and near godly people.
All right, well, the next soil was the thorns, the thorny soil, or the soil filled with weeds. And it says, some fell among thorns. Some people hear the word, hear God's word, and start growing and bearing fruit. But soon they become worried about the problems of daily living. They may think if they only have more money and more things. Come on, brother. I mean, I've been down that road, I'll tell you that. more money, you know. But more money and more things, they would be happy. This wrong belief takes up all the person's time and energy, just like the weed steals all the nutrients from the good plant. These people do not focus on living for God, so they do not produce any spiritual fruit. There is nothing wrong with the sower or the seed. The problem is the soil. The person who hears the word, he must trust in God to deliver him from his worries and greed so he can grow and work in God's word. Wow. The next kind of, I don't know if you want to go on this subject, but.
We got a commenter.
A commenter?
No, I remember. Pastor John brought it up in a sermon one time, but I always think of the scripture because I know people like this. Is he who loves money never has enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice that in life, I think Pastor John said it was Rockefeller, and he had all this money, and he says, J. Paul Getty, okay. You remember the quote?
Yeah, I was there when he made it. So he was the richest man in the world at the time, and they simply asked him, do you have enough money? He said, I only need $1 more.
Mm.
So in other words, he will never have enough. Whenever you ask him, he could make another million. Do you have enough? Well, I need $1 more. Money was his God. You talk about worry, Fred. Worry is something that really chokes us out.
Mm-hmm.
I know a story of a family that they were blessed with a house, but it was a little ways away from the church. Their finances were a little bit tight. And the guy's worried about gas money. I said, gas money? He said, yeah, for my cars. Cars? How many cars do you have? Three. So you're telling me God blessed you with a new house, three cars, but he can't put gas in them. It sounds silly now, but when we're in the middle of something like this, worry catches us up, and that seems quite reasonable. You just sometimes need somebody to shake you. Turn around and look at the blessings first.
And like you said, Bob, I think that's why it's so good to have be connected with the pastors and our elders and stuff, because when we're going through something, all we can think about is the problem. You know, you need to get somebody outside the circle you're in so they can say, hey, you know, yeah, it's bad, but look at this. You know, look what God done to you back then. I remember when God done that for you. You know, so they can build you up and say, you know what, it's not that bad. Commenter, another?
Yes, ma'am.
The Bob gets all questions. All right, so the last and final soil was the good soil. Still other seeds fell on good soil. They produced a crop 100, 60, and 30 times more than what was planted. The good soil, that's when we start producing some good spiritual fruit. You know, it's a soil that's rich in nutrients. You know, it's a soil that has plenty of water, it's plenty of sun. You know, and we have to make sure we keep our soil fertilized to keep a good soil. You know, and that's only by the Word of God, maybe hearing good teachings, you know, good counseling, you know, good godly stuff. I mean, we know when stuff ain't godly. You know, let's be honest. I mean, we got the Holy Spirit to convict us.
Right.
You know, if we keep on, I ain't even going to get into this part that my wife wants me to read, but yeah, she wants. Where is it at? I lost it, brother. I don't even want to see it. But because I'm gonna skip ahead because I got like 5 pages. I ain't gonna get through them all. But where is this? Come back next week. Well, anyways, it was you know, it reminds you to put no foul thing among your face, or no, I don't know how the scripture goes, but that's what it's referring to, the no foul thing in front of you. You know, it's if you got a anger problem, I'll put myself out there. If, you know, you got an anger problem, why am I watching shoot 'em up, kill 'em up movies? I mean, really? Yeah, you know, like, you know, there's no, like, no guys walking off, it's all about revenge. You know, got to get 'em back, got me, you know, so. Yeah, I'm getting revelation, baby. I'm getting revelation, you know. But, you know, if you got a lust problem, what are you watching these movies that's sexual content to them? I mean, be serious, you know. Ladies, why are you watching Lifetime all the time? I mean, I'm not even, you know. Yeah, you know, I mean, preach on that, you know. But, yeah, you know, watch OWN, you know. So I think any questions on that? Nobody want a question? No? Hallmark Channel? Yeah, me and my wife watch the Walters, The Little House on the Prairie now. You know, they have no cussing. I'm like, go, John boy. Don't lose my mic. All right.
They'll turn on you in a minute. You got to keep
control. Yeah, keep control. I can see him getting out of hand, Bob.
As he goes to his next one here, I'm going to go back to the front. Is this on? Okay. If you remember, what's the farmer doing?
Sowing seed.
Is that what it says?
He's scattering seeds.
Ah. See, take the word for what? Scattering seed. Sowing is if you're going to a specific area to plant something. Scattering seeds. And that's what God does with us. When church is over today, he's going to disperse us. Where are we going to go? All over the place. We're just scattered to all over the downriver area. Detroit, right? Southwest Detroit, all over the place. Is every place we're going to touch, everybody we touch today, going to be saved? Everybody we pray for going to be healed or the prayer answered? But some will. That's the main thing. We don't know. That farmer doesn't know when he's just going along scattering the seeds which one of them is going to take. Remember, we have plenty of seed. What was the seed, Fred? The Word of God.
The Word of God.
Has anybody ever ran out of the Word?
No.
No.
There's a young lady that was in here for our Bible study on Thursday. I guess she's been here a couple times already. And when she came in, she told me her name was Edith Appleseed. Well, that wasn't her real name. So I think, Sherry, you remember her here. You know, I had the long, dark hair. And so afterwards, I was talking to her after the class. And, I said, Appleseed? You know, that's kind of a strange last name. And she was laughing. And she said, well, that's really not my last name. That's just what was inscribed on my Bible by whoever gave it to her. And I asked her, I said, well, do you know who Johnny Appleseed is? Anybody in here know who Johnny Appleseed is?
Yes.
Donna, who is Johnny Appleseed? You remember? Yeah, he was actually he was a real-life person back in the 1800s, I think. And he went all over Michigan, Ohio, Indiana. And all he did is just scatter apple seeds all over the place. So all these apple trees that you see like up in Traverse City or around the state, many of them are a result of his sowing, you know, scattering seed. But what people don't know about him, he was an evangelist. And so wherever he would go, he would hold revival meetings or tent meetings or church, where, you know, whatever they did back in those days. But that was his method. That passage that you were talking about, Fred, about scattering the seed, he took that literally, but he used it as a great example. He was kind of what we would call a naturalist. He loved nature. He loved the things of nature. But he would take the seeds and just throw them wherever. But he used as an example, like you were saying, taking the seed and scattering the Word of God wherever we go. Some's going to fall in that good soil. Some's going to get eaten up by the birds. Some's going to fall among the weeds. Some's going to get trodden underfoot. But there is a lot that's going to find the good soil and bring forth much fruit, just like Johnny Appleseed and those seeds that he scattered all over.
It's funny you said that story. If you remember the story, the cartoon, probably from Disney, is how most of you remember it. He had a pot on his head. That was actually the truth. Biblically, he was like the 72. He said God sent him out, and God will take care of him. He took nothing but an empty pot, and God would fill it every day. And he lived a long life. So God, every day, brought him someplace to share the word, and they shared their food with him. Yeah. Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. I loved it. All right. We good? All right. Of course, the good soil, this represents the people who hear the word, who hear God's word and believe it. I mean, we got to believe that the word is true. You know, we got to believe when God promised never leave us or forsake us, he ain't going to leave us or forsake us. You know, he might not do things like, well, he's not going to do things like we see him being done. You know, I remember when I first, and my wife used to handle the bills back in the day, when I first started taking over doing that, you know, I was like, God, you know, help me with my finances, you know. But, of course, the prayer was more money, you know. I mean, you know, I need more money to do what I got to do, Lord. You know, well, what happened? I'm laid off for 6 months. And I'm like, whoa, you know. And so what God was teaching me, I know now at the time, of course, praying to get back to work, praying to more money, praying to get back to work. But I learned how to manage my bills better. You know, I learned how to, this is what I got, this is what I got to do with it. You know, I had to, you know, because I was spending. Flat out, I was spending what I wanted to spend on, and, you know, but I had to, you know, God took me through that tight time of my life to show me how to manage your money better. You know, so I think he takes us through certain things in life, whether it be finances or something, to teach us things, of course, you know. So that, you know, so I believe the word. I had a friend ask me, you believe in Noah's Ark? All the animals fit on the ark? And I was like, yeah, brother. You know, I do believe in Noah's Ark. You know, I believe there is a great flood. You know, and, you know, if there's There's actually evidence out there of a great flood. You'll never hear it unless you look for it on the internet or look on a Christian scientist or something, you know, because they'll never say that. But the people who hear God's word and believe it, they put their trust in Jesus. Their hearts receive the message of the kingdom, and the seed will take root. That's about it. I got more, but we're out of time.
Amen. But, give him a hand. That's an important message. Take this one out, because we're all supposed to be out scattering that seed, right? Amen. All right, who would like to close us today? Anyone like to close us today? Who would like to close us today? Why, thank you.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this word today, Lord God, and I pray, Lord, that just each and every one of us here, Lord, would just allow that to just penetrate our hearts, Father God, and it'd be something to just focus on for this week, Father. We thank you for Fred and his teaching, Lord God, and we pray that you just bless him, Lord God, as he just continues to study your word, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would just bless this worship and this word today, Father God, that we would be prepared for you, Lord God, and your Holy Spirit would just fill this place, Lord God, and your presence would be just within and upon each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you, Father. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.